بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the Salah described, and we finished in the last talk the position of prostration. And the last thing we spoke about is that for the person in the state of prostration is to level his shoulders, level his hands up to with his shoulders, and or sometimes level them with his ears while in the state of prostration. This is the last thing we spoke about. And one should remember also that should not spread his forearms like the spreading of a dog, because this is prohibited. As the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَبْسُطُ أَحَدُكُمْ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِسَاطَ الْكَلْبِ, in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, none of you should spread his forearms like the spreading of a dog. Then, what the person is going to say in the state of prostration? The believer says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana. We explained many times the meaning of tasbih, and tasbih means declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be far removed from all imperfections or imperfection and defects. As to the saying Rabbi al-A'la, my Rabb, the Most High, here the believer did not say, or does not say, Rabbi al-Azim. You know, in ruku' the believer says, Rabbi al-Azim, my Lord, most great, or the greatest. Here he doesn't say this, because mentioning the highness of Allah in this position is more fitting than mentioning his greatness, because the position of the person in this state is in his lowest position, and that's why it is more fitting to praise Allah with highness. And one should contemplate the wisdom and the fitting of these matters in relation to what the companions did. For example, in their travel, as came in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Kunna idha sa'adna kabbarna wa idha nazalna sabbahna. He, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, whenever we went up a place, we would say takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greater than anything. And whenever we went down a place, we would say Subhanallah, far Allah is removed above defects and imperfection. Because when the person goes up a place, he may feel haughty and arrogant. So it is fitting for him to remember Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, so as to remind himself of the greatness and magnificence of Allah Azza wa Jal, the most mighty, the most magnificent. And when he goes down a place, he realizes that going down is a deficiency. So it's more proper to make tasbih, to make tasbih, glorifying Allah above any imperfection and or deficiency in which he is in, being at a low place. So it is fitting, therefore, during the prostration, that the believer says Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la, far removed my Rabb Allah from any imperfection, he is the high, the most high. And the like of this also is exemplified in the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he saw something that he liked from this life, from this worldly life, he would say labbayka innal aisha aishul akhirah, I respond to you, O Allah, verily indeed the true life which is sustained and sought is that of the hereafter. Why? And this is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. Because the person, if he sees something that he likes from the life of this world, he may be inclined towards it and turns away from Allah. So he says labbaik, labbaik meaning istijaba, I respond to you, O Allah. And then he checks himself and reminds himself that the true living and true life is not this life which is perishing, but rather that of the hereafter. And that's now why it is from the sunnah for the person, if he sees something that he likes in this life, to say labbayka innal aisha aishul akhirah, labbayka innal aisha aishul akhirah, I respond to you, O Allah, indeed the life is that, and the true life is that of the hereafter. Now the believer says Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la in prostration, Al-A'la meaning the most high. Is this highness in place or highness in attribute? The answer, this highness comprises both, and this is something agreed upon in the fitr, in the natural inclination upon which people were created, except for those whom the shayateen, the devils, had swayed away from the sound course of fitra. For the highness and transcendence of Allah Azza wa Jal is that he is above, high in his essence, in himself, is something people are created upon. So if you ask a common person, What do you mean when you say in prostration, Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la? Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la. What do you mean by that? He will tell you, Ulu with that, the transcendence of Allah in Himself. And he may not know about the ulu of the sifa, the transcendence of the attribute. This is naturally ingrained. Despite that, it is negated by some who face the same qibla like us, and there is no doubt that they opposed the book and the sunnah and the consensus of the salaf and the intellect, the sound intellect and the fitrah. And if they would have returned to their fitrah, they would have found that this is something inevitable and it's a must to attest to. So when something touches them, you see, or you if something touches them, their hearts become directed upwards in the direction of highness, and they stand in Arafah or on Arafah invoking Allah. Do they raise their hands upward or do they put their hands downward? The former, they raise their hands upward. And it is amazing that they, or strange rather, that they raise their hands and claim that Allah is on earth. We seek refuge in Allah from what they attribute to Him. So the important thing is that we feel when we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, far Allah the Most High is removed from all imperfection, far is He above all imperfection, the Most High. We feel that Allah is Aliyun fi dhatihi, high in Himself, in His essence, and high in His attributes. He is higher above everything. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself be Al-A'la, and sometimes Al-Ali, because these attributes are affirmed, meaning the transcendence is affirmed in these attributes. And sometimes He describes Himself Al-Kabir and Al-Akbar, Al-Alim and Al-A'lam. All of these are superlative forms. They don't mean agent nouns, as claimed by some. Now, when the person in the prostration says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, it is not conditional, according to the correct opinion, that he raises his voice to make himself hear what he says. As long as he clearly utters the letters, then whether he hears that by himself or not, then this is sufficient. Now, how many times the person may say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? The sunnah is that this is repeated 3 times. And also, he may also add to that by saying, for example, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالرُّوحِ. سُبُّوح قُدُّوس رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالرُّوحِ. What is the meaning of سُبُّوح? It means the one who is free from defects and from having a partner, and above anything that does not fit him. This is the meaning of سُبُّوح. What is the meaning of قُدُّوس? سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ. قُدُّوس meaning the one purified from all that which suits him not. This is the meaning of قُدُّوس. رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَ وَالرُّوحِ. رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَ, the Lord of the Angels, والروح. And الروح here refers to جبريل عليه السلام in one saying. Also he may say during the prostration, سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك. سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. Which means سبحانك اللهم, O Allah, I declare you free from all imperfection. ربنا, you are our Rabb. وبحمدك, and also praising him, mentioning his praise, that he is worthy of all praise. The one who deserves all praise is due to him. This is a prelude for a request. What is the request? اللهم اغفر لي, O Allah, forgive me. So the person declares Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free from all imperfection, and then praises him, and then puts his request, Allahumma ghfir li, O Allah, forgive me. Then after that, he lifts his head, lifts the head from the prostration position, and makes takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. The saying of Allahu Akbar is within the movement during the transition. The saying of Allahu Akbar is during the transition. After he leaves the place, he leaves his head, or he takes his head from the place, and before he ends in the sitting position. Now, how he's going to sit? After the first prostration, he sits in a position which is called iftirash. He sits in a position which is called iftirash. So he lays his left foot along the ground and sits on it. He lays his left foot along the ground and sits on it, and then he would have his right foot upright. He would have his right foot upright, pointing its toes towards the Qibla, pointing its toes towards the Qibla. This is the position called iftirash. This is the position called iftirash. And sometimes he would, the Prophet ﷺ, it's reported, in Sahih Muslim, from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he would sometimes practice iqa, resting on both his heels and all his toes. Resting on both his heels and all his toes. This is called, I will put the translation. In this position, he says, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, O Allah, forgive me, وَارْحَمْنِي, have mercy on me, وَعَافِنِي, pardon me, wahdini, and guide me, warzuqni, and sustain me, and sometimes wajburni, set me aright or mend me. Now, during this sitting position, where he's going to put his hands? This is what he says. Now, should I repeat that? Oh, there it is. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَهْدِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي. Or instead of warzuqni, wajburni. And if he combines also that, there is no harm, because this is a place for dua. Now the question is, where should he put his hands and how? The first description is, put the hands on the thighs with the tips of the fingers at the knees. This is the first description. The second description puts the right hand on the knee and the left hand he puts on the knee, but as if grabbing it, like grabbing the knee. as to how, then with respect to the left hand, it should be stretched with the fingers together and directed towards the Qibla. And with the side, with the elbows part by the thigh, meaning it should not be separate, rather it should be kept towards the thigh together, not separate from the thigh. Doesn't make it separated, but brings it towards the thigh. This is with respect to the left. As to the right, the sunnah is to clench the little finger and the ring finger and have have the thumb with the middle finger in a circle. Bring the thumb and the middle finger in a circle and points the index, and points the index finger and moves it. Whether to move it during the dua only or through the entire with respect to the tashahud, we'll talk about that, but with respect to this resting, with this position between the prostration, between the prostrations, he moves it. This is one opinion. He moves it with the dua, which the dua we're talking about, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَاهْدِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي وَاجْبُرْنِي. This is in accordance with one narration that came from Imam Ahmad, from the hadith of Wa'il bin Hujr. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim went to this opinion. There is disagreement about the movement of the index finger in this position between the two prostrations. So therefore, the sitting between the prostrations is an iftirash state. We know what's the iftirash now, with the hands stretched. And in the first tashahud, it is iftirash, however the right hand is in the position where the fingers are clenched as described earlier. Here in the dua, the believer says, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him his sins, the major and the minor. And al-maghfira, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Maghfira means سَتْرُ الذَّنْبِ وَالْعَفُوا عَنْهُ. It means shielding the sin and forgiving it. As irhamni, irhamni, this is seeking the rahmah, the mercy from Allah, through which the person attains what he aims for. And through forgiveness, he is relieved from what he fears. So there is a combination between the two. Between رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي, through the rahmah, attaining what is sought, and through maghfira is relieving oneself from that which is feared. This is when they come together. This is when they are mentioned together. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي. But if they are mentioned each alone, if for example you say رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, then in this case it comprises the rahmah, seeking the rahmah. And if you say اللهم ارحمني or ربي ارحمني, also there it comprises the maghfirah, the forgiveness. As to the saying ارزقني, this is seeking sustenance. But what is sustenance? Is it that which is needed for the body, or that which is needed to establish the deen? The answer is both. Meaning, the sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers that which is needed by the body's need, from food, drink, clothes, homes, and what is also needed to establish the deen, from ilm, from knowledge, from iman, from faith, amal salih, righteous deeds. And the person should try to remember when he or she makes the dua to contemplate and make these meanings present with him, so that he leaves with a benefit. وعافني يعني render me in a well state, well being. So if he suffers from an ailment or a disease, then he contemplates this dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him from this physical ailment. And if he is having a heart disease, the diseases of the heart, and many are the diseases of the heart, we're not talking about physical cardiac, no, we're talking about the diseases of the heart, those which may affect the intention and the belief. Then he asks Allah also and makes the contemplation present that Allah cures him from this kind of heart disease. And then he says اجبرني. Jabr is to set upright and to quote mend from defects, because every person is defective in one way or another, transgressing against himself or negligent, and he needs mending and straightening so that he returns upright. After the break in the tangible and the intangible, these meanings that are to be contemplated and brought to presence during the dua are sometimes neglected, and many times the person says them without any pondering on what they mean. The dua is ibadah. The dua is a secret conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is beloved to Him. And during the dua, the person brings to presence his sins and remembers them. Then afterwards, he makes the second prostration like he did in the first one. And then he invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is in the prostration, this is one of the places where the dua is answered, and it is the place where the person is closest and draws most near to Allah Azza wa Jal. Can he read the Quran in sujood? Can he recite the Quran as a recitation in sujood? The answer is no, because the Prophet ﷺ forbade for the Quran to be recited while the person is in ruku' or in sujood. Except, however, if he makes a dua using a statement from the Quran, like, take for example, in saying, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب, as in Surah Al Imran 3:8. This is not harmful, because what is intended here is the dua and not the recitation. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةِ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَبِ. Our Rabb, let not our hearts deviate from the truth after you have guided us, and grant us mercy from you, truly you are the bestower. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not let our hearts deviate from the truth after He has guided us, and to grant us mercy from Him. Truly He is the bestower of mercy. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of the prostration posture. We continue the rest inshallah ta'ala in the next time scheduled.